what we'll do is just cover the basic concepts again and then go through three or four example approaches to implementing a peer-to-peer system. So what we've covered last week, okay, a peer-to-peer system, a set of computing devices that want to share information, we can say that we have some group of peers, some set of computers, for example. They may be computers on the internet. They may be computers inside SIT. We have a group of peers where we identify the peers, say, by P. So some group of N peers form our peer-to-peer system. But some of those peers have resources that we want to share across the system. So the best example of a resource is a file. But it doesn't have to be. There may be other resources. But peers have resources that they want to share in the system. So we can say the resource of some peer P, or the set of resources that some peer P has, maybe R1, R3, R7, where R is a resource. For example, a file. Resources are identified by keys. So if we have a resource which is a file, we have a key which provides a unique identifier of that file in the system. Now, we may think of a file name as a key, but often that's not sufficient because file names may not be unique. So sometimes we need another way to get a unique identifier of a file. But we have a key which identifies a resource. And so this is just a summary of what we have here. And so some key for some resource R1, maybe K1. And we need some index that maps the keys to peers. That is, the peers store resources. Our problem will be how to find these resources, find which peer has the resource I'm looking for. So to do that, we need some index that maps keys to peers. That is, peer 3 has resource with key K7, as an example. And in peer-to-peer systems, that index will be distributed across multiple nodes. In a central system, a centralized server system, the index is stored at the server. And our problem is, in terms of locating resources, find some peer that has the resource with key K. That's our problem statement. To support this, to be able to do this, distribute resources amongst peers, have keys, have indexes, or distribute an index across the peers, and to be able to find resources, we need different things. We need to somehow manage the network. We have a group of peers. If we consider the internet and those peers for a set of computers on the internet and form their own peer-to-peer system, then sometimes new peers want to join that group and sometimes peers in the group want to leave. So we need some way to maintain or manage nodes or peers leaving the group. And we need some way to search, that is, this problem. I'm looking for a resource with key K, find the peer that has that. But also, if a node joins a group, it may have resources available to other peers, so we'd say that that node can insert the resource into the system. That is, some node comes along and it has resource R8, somehow we need to make that resource available to the other peers. So we'd say we insert that resource into the system, and similar, sometimes some resources are no longer available, we need to delete them. So let's look in a little bit more depth at these two, the concepts, and then we'll go through three or four example peer-to-peer protocols that implement these, or address these problems of search, insert, and delete in different manners. and it will start to make more sense of the general concept and see specific examples. So, let's look at network maintenance. A node wants to join a peer-to-peer system. Let's say our peer-to-peer system is the set of 15 people in this room. That is, we've formed our own peer-to-peer system. Someone enters the room, they would like to join our group. How does that happen? So someone enters the room and he wants to join our peer-to-peer group. Then to join in a computer network, then normally the new node needs to know an existing member of the network. And the approach is to send some special join message to that existing member saying, I want to join the group. And if everything's successful, they join the group and learn information about the peer-to-peer system. So if a new node joins a group, then information about other peers nearby, as well as some of the index information, would need to be distributed and possibly reorganized. So if we had our nodes, four nodes in our peer-to-peer system, if they knew about their neighbor nodes, that is, this is a computer on the internet, and it knows the IP address of these two nodes. If a new node wants to come along and join the group, then that new node must know one of the existing nodes in the group. Let's say the new node knows about the IP address of peer 3. It joins by sending some message saying, I want to join your group. And if that's successful, then they may need to rearrange or reorganize the knowledge about the neighbors. That is, previously, peer 2 knew about peer 1 and peer 3. Peer 3 knew about peer 4 and peer 2. Now, peer 3 knows about our new node, peer 5, because it's contacted, and also peer 2 and peer 4. And the index information, which is stored or distributed about these nodes, may have to be updated. That is, the index information which maps keys to nodes which is maybe stored on some of the nodes, may need to be reorganized. And we'll see with the specific protocols how that may be achieved. So as new nodes join a group, we need to exchange information and update our peer-to-peer system, reorganize it. Similarly, if a node leaves a group, if this one disappears, this is a computer and someone turns that computer off, it's of course no longer in the group. It no longer exists. Now peer 1 only knows about peer 2. But our protocol may require a peer needs to know about two other neighbors. Therefore, it would need to learn about some other node in the network. Perhaps it would learn about peer 3. So as nodes enter and leave the peer-to-peer system, the information shared amongst nodes needs to be reorganized. Now note, in a peer-to-peer system in practice, for example, when we think about the internet, the nodes may be distributed across the world. This may be a computer in Bangkok, this may be a computer in Australia, this may be a computer in the US. The geographical position sometimes does not relate to the connectivity between the nodes. That is, Peer 5 may come and join the network. Peer 5 may be a computer in Bangkok. It may send a join message to a computer in Australia. It doesn't necessarily have to send to one that's nearby geographically. It's just to do with the topology of the network. So do not, in my example diagrams, do not equate the closeness of them to being geographically close. They could be just any computer in the internet. When I say it's its neighbor, or they know about it, then quite simply this node knows the IP address and possibly port number of the application running on this node. We'll see some more examples of that shortly. So, we need some way to manage the network. Nodes join and leave. How do we support that? We'll see some more examples shortly. We also need a way to manage the data in the network. The goal of the peer-to-peer system is to share resources. We have a set of nodes. They have some resources available to share to other nodes. If they are the set of resources that each peer has, then the goal is to allow one peer to access the resources available on other nodes. So, for example, peer 5 may want to access resource 2. So, of course, we need some way to find resources, to search, but also we need a way to introduce new resources into the system. Let's say the resources are files, and peer 5 now has a new resource available, resource 6. Then somehow that needs to be made available to the other nodes. And we say that's inserting a resource into the peer-to-peer system. So insert some resource with some key. And again, index information which maps keys to peers may be distributed about the nodes. That is, somehow we'd need to tell the other peers that resource with key case is stored at peer 5. That's the index information, and we'll see that the index information may be distributed amongst multiple nodes. So that when we search, if peer 1 is looking for resource 6, which has key K6, then it sends a query and the index information that may be stored on this node gives us a response saying that the resource is available at peer 5. So we need to insert resources into the system, and similar, we need to be able to delete resources. If peer 3 stored an index that said key 6 is available from peer 5, but then later peer 5 deletes that resource, it's no longer available, somehow this index information needs to be updated. So that when someone searches for key 6, it should not return P5, because P5 no longer has it. So that's the concept of deleting resources. How do we perform the network maintenance and management, and how do we do this search, insert, and delete? Well, there are different protocols and systems for doing it, and we'll go through some examples now, or go through several examples which illustrate them at least. And so the way to implement these, there are general approaches, some choices that we can make when we implement. We can have an unstructured approach versus a structured approach. In an unstructured approach, no information about the resources is kept by other peers. Nodes are independent of each other, so we do not depend upon other nodes for the system to work. In a structured approach, peers store information about other peers' resources. So my example here, where peer 3 was storing information about another peer's resource, is a structured approach. If no nodes stored information about other peers' resources, then we'd call that unstructured. We'll see examples of them in the next slide. The other way that we can separate the designs and the implementations is whether the system is flat or hierarchical. A flat system is where all nodes are the same. A hierarchical system is where there are some nodes which have special functionality. If this node was a special node, which had to store the index of many nodes, whereas these are normal nodes, then there's some hierarchy. Different types of nodes produce some hierarchy. Such is much more efficient. Search is much more efficient. But we'll see that when we go through examples which show hierarchical versus flat modes. Last week we introduced Napster. Let's just recap on how it works, relating to the concept that we've just mentioned. In Napster we have peers. And we have a central server, the Napster server. Is it hierarchical or flat? Or maybe the answer is up here. Well, because we have peers and a different type of node, a central server, this is a hierarchical system. There's a special type of node in the network that does, that performs functionality that the other peers do not. And in fact, what we said last week is the approach is that this server stores the index information for all the peers. So here are a set of peers, they have resources. So just some resources, say some files stored on those peers. When they want to insert, firstly, when a node joins the network, let's say peer 5 wants to join the network, then it needs to contact someone to say that they want to join the network. In this case, they can contact the server. And they tell the server the set of resources they have available. Send a special message to the server saying, I have the resource R7 available. So this would be the concept of the insert. We say, I have resource R7 available. The server stores an index which maps the keys for each resource to the peers. So our index at the server, if resource R3 is identified by key K3, then the index will be K3 is at peer 1, K5, peer 1, K3 also at peer 2. So if we have a direct mapping from our resource, R3 has a key K3, then the index stores the keys and the corresponding resources. K1 at peer 3. K6 at peer 4, and since this node just joined the network, peer 5, and it has inserted the resource R7, then the server would update its index and add, okay, resource R7, which has key K7, is available at peer P5. Inserting data in this case is easy. We just tell the server I have data available. The server updates the index. Similar deleting data is easy. If this node says I no longer want to share this resource R3, it can tell the server I no longer have resource R3 available, and the server will update the index. It will delete this entry. So insert and delete is easy, and then search is easy as well. This node is searching. For resource with key, let's say, key 6. It sends a search query to the server. The server looks at the index key 6. Key 6 is at P4. It tells the node the answer is at P4. So peer 2 has now found the resource, or found the node, that has the resource R6. And now peer 2 can access that resource, which is a different step, which we haven't got yet. How do you transfer that resource? Well, you could use HTTP. You could use any transfer protocol or file transfer protocol to download that resource if it's a file. So with Napster, these steps of inserting data are easy. We just tell the server. Deleting data is easy. We just tell the server. Searching for data is easy. We just send our query to the server, sends the response. And then once we want to access the resource, we go direct between peers. So in fact, Napster is very much a centralized system. It's only peer-to-peer for the data transfer or exchanging of resources. So this is a hierarchical system. And it's structured because some information about other peers is stored on another node. So it's a structured hierarchical system. And in fact, it's a very primitive peer-to-peer system because it's in fact very much dependent on the central server. So we'll look at improvements upon that that distribute the information about more nodes. Let's have a break for 5 minutes because course evaluations can start. Okay.
So let's
look at an alternative. Napster is very much a centralized system. We heavily rely on this server. If the server fails, the system fails. Let's look at the opposite, and that's Nutella. That's a protocol for peer-to-peer systems, which is fully distributed. It is a flat system and also unstructured. So Napster relies on a central server. It is a hierarchical system and structured. Nutella is about the, as far as the opposite direction. Unstructured, flat, ignore that one. Let's see how it works. We have a set of peers in our system. They need to know about some other peers in the system. So these are computers distributed across the internet. And let's say that they need to know about two other nodes, two other peers in the system. I'll just draw lines between them to indicate which ones they may know about. For example, peer 8 may know about peer 2 and peer 6. I'm not sure if I'm included. This is not the best of examples, but it will serve our purpose here because we only have 8 nodes. If each node knows about 2 other nodes, when I say know about, it needs to know, for example, its IP address. If this has an IP address, or they all have IP addresses, when I say peer 8 knows about peer 2 and peer 6, it knows its IP address. It can send an IP packet to it because it knows its IP address. We can say they are neighbours. They may not be physically close. They may be on the other side of the world. But because peer 8 knows the IP address of peer 2 and peer 6, we can say they are neighbours because we can directly send a message to them. So, to start Nutella, we need to somehow discover neighbours. So the join process, if a new node comes along, it needs to somehow discover other neighbours or other peers so that it can create at least 2 neighbours. To do that, we need to somehow know about some of the peers in the network. So if our new node comes, peer 9, and wants to join this peer-to-peer system, it needs to know the IP address at least one of these other peers. How does it know the IP address? Well, we need some way to get started. One of the IP addresses must be publicly known, for example. Maybe there is a special server which keeps a list of some IP addresses of publicly known peers. And what this starts, so there's an application running on this computer, it starts, it contacts the well-known server, and this well-known server tells it, okay, try peer 1. Here's the IP address of peer 1, try to contact peer 1 to join this network. So in fact, Nutella needs a server, in fact, all of these peer-to-peer systems need a server. But this server, in this case, is only used to start up the system to contact another peer. If you already know about other peers, you don't need the server. So peer 9 needs to find out about the IP addresses of existing peers in the system, and then it would contact them by saying, sending a join message. I want to join the peer-to-peer system, and this one would send back a response. It may send back a response including IP addresses of other peers that peer 1 knows about. Peer 1 has neighbours, peer 2 and peer 3. It may send a response saying, here are the IP addresses of peer 2 and peer 3. Now this new peer knows about 1, 2, and 3. So we can quickly learn about other peers in the system. Assuming we have this set of peers in our system at this point in time, then some of these peers have resources available to share. Just some of the resources that each peer is sharing or making available in the peer-to-peer system, P3 makes available resource R3. And the notation I'll use that resource R3 is identified by key K3. So same as I did here, resource RI is identified by key KI, same subscript. So, if we know about some neighbors in the system, there's no central server for searching. And this is an unstructured system in that we do not store index information about other nodes. In the structured system, index information was stored on other nodes. In this fully unstructured system, it's not. What we do is we just store the resources on the nodes that they make available. And now if you want to search, peer 1 wants to search for resource K2, resource with key K2. That is, peer 1 wants resource R2. In Nutella, we use broadcast or flooding of the message. We send a special search query to our neighbors. Send a query to peer 3 and to peer 2, saying, where is the resource identified by key K2? Peer 3 does not have R2. Peer 2 does not have R2. So they send on to their neighbours. Peer 3 would send to peer 5. Peer 2 to peer 8. Peer 5 does not have the resource that they're searching for, so sends to its neighbour. Same peer 8. Peer 7 has the resource. We're searching for resource with key K2. That is, we're searching for resource R2. A query has come to peer 7 saying, do you have resource R2? Peer 7 does have it, and therefore peer 7 can respond. And it can respond in the same path, or in some special cases, directly to peer 1. Sends back a response, which eventually gets to peer 1, which is saying, resource identified by key K2 is available at peer 7. So this is flooding. Send a query to all of your neighbours. If they don't have it, they will send to their neighbours. And eventually it will get to someone that does have the resource. Similar, the query keeps coming this direction as well. That is, even though we've got a hit here, that is, we've found the right resource, Peer 8 doesn't know that. It's just another computer on the internet somewhere else. So it sends the query to peer 6. Peer 6 will send to peer 4. Peer 4 has the resource as well. We'll get a response in this direction. So Nutella uses this flooding approach to send queries or search queries for a particular resource. If a node has that resource, then in theory, the response will come back. So this is a fully distributed approach. There's no server. All peers are the same, flat. There's no special nodes in the system. It's unstructured because each peer only stores information about the resources they have. They don't store information about other peers' resources. In this case, the server stored information about other peers' structure. So, as a fully distributed approach, this is very good in the event of failures. If one node fails, we can still send a search query and get a response. Of course, the problem, you know, the problem with any flooding type protocol is that it's very inefficient. This single search query, P1 was searching for resource key K2. In the network, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 packets sent through our network just for the query. And they're also responses. In this case, there was just one search query packet. So in the utilization of the network, in this case we send one message and we get a response immediately. In this case we send it to two nodes and they send it to their neighbors and so on. There are many messages sent through the network to search for this resource. And of course, the case I've given here is very simple. There's only 8 nodes. Every node only has 2 links to their neighbours. In general, there may be thousands, possibly even millions of nodes. So if you broadcast or flood a query through the network, there'll be many copies of that query sent through the internet. And that's very inefficient. So that's the basic approach of Nutella. Some more details. These messages that we send have particular formats. The query, there's a query message, which is when we search for something, and the response that comes back, P4 sends back a response, is called a query hit message. So that for searching. There's 2 messages for joining a network. If our new node wants to join the network, peer 9, then sends a ping message to some other node, which responds with a pong message saying, giving information about the resources that, or the other peers that it may have, its neighbours. So for joining the network, a peer must contact an existing peer with a ping message. Sends a message saying, I want to join this network. To get started, there are some dedicated servers that list known peers. That's where I drew this extra server, which keeps track of some of the IP addresses of peers in the network. So peer 9 actually server saying, do you know a peer in this peer-to-peer system? The server would send back the IP address. We can send the ping message to peer 1 and receive a pong message back. These messages can respond, which include an IP address. And because this is communications between applications, we also include port numbers. And other statistics may be useful as well. For example, send a message to peer 1, it sends back a response including its IP address, the IP address of neighbours, the port numbers of their applications, and also possibly the number of resources available on this node. So we in fact want to have neighbours with multiple peers, not just one peer. So in this example, I had neighbours with 2 peers, so we need to send ping messages to either multiple peers, or possibly when peer 1 responds, peer 1 will tell peer 9 about peer 3 and peer 2. So in effect, peer 9 knows about peer 1, 2 and 3. And of the nodes that it knows about, it will select some of them to be permanent neighbours. Let's say it selects 1 and 2 to be its permanent neighbours. So we select C permanent neighbours to have connections to. For example, or a common value is 4. So we have permanent connections to these 4 nodes, and then when we want to send our search queries, we send it to those 4 nodes, and they will send to their neighbours and their neighbours until the response comes back. We flood the query through the network. Once we get a query hit, that is a response back, then we can access that response. So peer 1 flooded the query through the network. There was a hit from peer 7 and peer 4. It received responses back. In this case, it received 2 responses. One from peer 7, another from peer 4, because 2 peers have the resource it was searching for. There may be multiple copies of the same resource throughout the network. And then peer 1 can choose one of these to access, that is to access that resource. If the resource is a file, peer 1 can send a message direct to peer 7 saying, I want to download the file R2 and download it with whichever protocol we haven't talked about yet, how to access the resources, just finding the resources. So a peer may maintain a cache of peers that it has learned about for future use. That is, peer 1, let's choose another one, peer 8 has the neighbours peer 2 and peer 6. It knows about these nodes. But because it received a response from peer 4, it also knows about peer 4. And because it received a query from peer 1, Peer 8 also knows the IP address of Peer 1. So it may maintain a cache of those addresses. And later, if Peer 6 leaves the network, then Peer 8 may use one of those IP addresses in the cache, that of Peer 1 or Peer 4, to create a new neighbour. That is, Peer 1 may create a neighbour or a connection direct to its neighbour, Peer 4. So there are ways optimize or to improve the performance by keeping a cache of values of previous used or previous contacted peers. Firewalls we're not going to discuss. That's the basic concept of Nutella. We flood messages through the network. Whereas the extreme opposite, Napster, we send to a server. If one node fails in Nutella, then we'll still get a query back. In this case, if P2 failed, our query still goes in this direction and we get a response back. If we have more nodes and more connections, then that's even more reliable. That is, we'll get the query back, the query hit back. So very good in terms of distributing the resources. In Napster, if the server fails, the whole system fails. But Nutella, very inefficient. We need to send many packets to get the resource. Napster, we send one search packet and we immediately get the response. So they are the two extremes of peer-to-peer systems. We can improve upon inefficiencies of Nutella by limiting the flooding. And we've studied this when we looked at flooding in computer networks. With flooding, we send the packet and it goes to all nodes in the network. We could limit the number of hops that the query goes. If we put a hop limit of 2, the query would go to peer 3, peer 5, and it would not go any further. In that case, we would not find the resource. So that would be a problem, but it would be more efficient. If we had a hop limit of 3, the query would go peer 3, peer 5, peer 7. We'd find the resource. That's good. it would go in this direction, peer 2, peer 8, peer 4, find the resource. So by introducing a hop limit, we can reduce the number of packets sent, but we may not find the resource in all places. So there are different ways, and there are other approaches as well. Changing the hop limit, or the time to live over time. Try a time to live of 1, send a query. If you don't get a response, increase the time to live, or hop limit, to 2. Send a query. If you don't get a response, increase it to 3. When we will get a response, because the resource is 3 hops away. So that's what's called an expanding ring search. So you hop limits, or time to lives, to improve the efficiency of Nutella, of the flooding, at the expense sometimes of finding the resource. So they are two extremes. One is pretty much a client-server based, one is a fully distributed approach. What about in the middle? Can we combine the two? Fast Track is an example that combines the concepts from both of these. It's a peer-to-peer protocol. It's used by different applications. It's a hierarchical peer-to-peer system. So there are special types of nodes. And it's what's called a super peer architecture. We have peers, just the normal peers, but some nodes are special super peers. The aim is to combine the advantages of the NAPSA approach and the Nutella approach. The advantage of the NAPSA approach is search is fast and efficient. Send one message, immediately get a response. Here, send a message, has to be sent again and again, and then we get a response. Of course, if the network has 1 million nodes, this can be slow. This has 1 million nodes, it still just takes one message to search. So that's the advantage of the NAPSA approach. The advantage of the Nutella approach is that if one node fails, our system still works. The disadvantage here is if the server fails, the whole system fails. So let's combine the concepts of both of them. We have special types of nodes called super peers. So they are peers in the peer-to-peer system, but they play an additional role to the normal peers. And there are also, of course, the normal peers. And each peer, so these peers in our network, so we have a set of peers in the network. Each peer has a relationship to a single super peer. So, and I've drawn them nearby, but remember this does not show geographical proximity. That is, just because I've drawn these three peers next to this one doesn't mean they're close, they're in the same country. They may be just any computers on the internet. But there's some relationship between peers and a super peer. That is, they are neighbours. Similar to in Nutella, each node had some neighbours. In this case, each peer knows the IP address of a super peer. So, for example, if the peer 11 would know the IP address, IP of super peer 2. When I draw the line here, that's what it means. It means that peer 11 knows the IP address of super peer 2. And similar, super peer 2 knows about the IP address and port numbers when necessary of peer 11. They know about each other. So, this forms some client-server type relationship, similar to Napster. We have peers who can immediately contact a super peer. And in addition, the super peers form a Nutella type network amongst themselves. Each super peer maintains links to other super peers. Let's give them a different color. Now, I don't have enough to draw, here some peers have two links or two neighbours, some have three neighbours, just to give a little bit of a different structure. When you have, say, hundreds or thousands of super peers, then you may have three or four neighbours per super peer. So what we can think about is that the relationship between a peer and a super peer follows the Napster-style approach. Have a peer that contacts a server. The relationship between the super peers follows the Nutella-style approach, where we have this approach, where one peer knows about its neighbours, some neighbours, and to send a query, we can flood it through the network. So now let's put some resources on some of these nodes. So peers have resources available. So it doesn't matter where they are, I've put some resources on some of the peers. And now, when a new peer wants to join the network, we have a new peer. Wants to join this peer-to-peer system, then it needs to contact a super peer to join the network. How do we find the IP address of a super peer? So I turn on my computer. Peer 15 is my laptop. I turn it on, I start the application that supports this protocol. What it needs to do is send a join message to a super peer. So it needs to know the IP address of a super peer. How do we know the IP address of a super peer? Similar problem to how does a new peer in Nutella know about the IP address of neighbours? We have a special server that handles that for us. We need a special server that keeps the IP addresses of some of the super peers. So what my computer does, it must know the IP address of this special server. Let's say it has a domain name. So I contact this server, and this server tells me the IP address of, say, super peer 2. And then my super peer joins this peer-to-peer system by sending a message to super peer 2, saying, I want to join the network, and can join the network. So in both of these cases of the fast track super peer architecture and Nutella, we still need this initial server to get started. Someone that has an IP address or a domain name that is well known. This could be, this super peer could be just some computer in someone's office or at home. It has an IP address, but it may not have a domain name. Therefore, how do I know about it? Well, I have to contact a special server that has a well-known IP address or domain name. To insert data, if peer 15 has a resource available, R6, it simply sends a message to the super peer. And the super peers keep an index information for their associated peers. So the index information at super peer 2 would be resource with K or key K2. K2 corresponds to resource 2, is available at peer 12. Also, key K6 is available at peer 15. This is index information stored on super peer 2. It stores information about the resources available on the local peers. Reverting back to Napster, our server stored index information on the resources available on all peers in the system. Here, we just store index information on the peers which are local to that super peer. Similar, super peer 3 would have an index saying that key 3 is available at peer 10, key 5 at peer 9, key 1 at peer 7. So each super peer maintains an index relative to their local peers. So inserting information is easy. Simply send a message to your super peer saying you want to insert this resource. Joining is relatively easy. We contact a special server and then contact a super peer to join. Search. Let's say first, peer 13 wants to search for the resource identified by key K2. Peer 13 is looking for resource R2. It sends the query to its super peer. First thing, the super peer looks in its index. Does the super peer know about key K2? In this case, yes. Super peer knows that resource identified by K2 is available at P12. Sends back a query hit saying, contact peer 12. And now peer 13 directly access that resource from peer 12. So this is a case where we search for a resource which is available at one of the peers of our same super peer. That's very efficient, because we send one message, we get a response. Same as in Napster. We sent one message to the server, we got a response. So that's very fast search. We cannot do any better than that. What if we searched for a different resource? We searched for resource identified by key K4. Again, we send a query to our super peer, searching for K4. Super peer looks in the index. It has K2 and K6. It does not have K4. So now the super peer uses the flooding approach to send a query to other super peers. This is where the Nutella-style approach takes over. We send a query to our neighbors. Do you know about key K4? Super peer 1 will not, because the peers do not have resource R4. Super peer 3 will not, because its peers do not have resource R4. So they will send to their neighbours. And we'll see that we'd send a query here, here. Superpeer 1 would send to its neighbor. Superpeer 3 would send to its neighbors. Superpeer 4 would have index information. Because when peer 6 joined and inserted resource R4, then the index would say key 4 is at peer 6. When this query comes for key 4, superpeer 4 looks in the index, finds key 4, and sends back a response saying you can access the resource at peer 6. Response comes back and eventually back to peer 13. And now peer 13 can directly access peer 6 because it has its IP address and download that resource or access that resource. If the resource is a file, it can download the file. So this is a hierarchical approach, the super peer architecture, where we combine this centralized approach of Napster on a local level, and between super peers we use the Nutella approach of flooding to send our queries. If the resource is accessible from the super peer, the search is very quick. If not, then we need to flood the message. But note that flooding is only amongst the super peers. Let's say we have a large network, Nutella, we have 1 million peers. Flooding is very inefficient because we send a query to our neighbour peers, they send it to their neighbours. It may be sent to 1 million different nodes. In fast track or the super peer architecture, if we have 1 million nodes, maybe only 1,000 are super peers. The rest are normal peers. So even if we have to flood a message between the super peers, it's only amongst 1,000 nodes in the entire system. And that can be, well, that's of course much more efficient than flooding a message through 1 million nodes. So that's when flooding becomes okay to use because we don't have so many nodes to flood by. That is, we'd have, say, one super peer, and we may have 1,000 peers attached to that. So combinations of both the Napster and the Nutella approach. What else can we say? This special server, which we contacted just to get started, is referred to as a super peer. It's something that keeps a list of the super peers. So when I start my computer, I send a special request to this super peer, and it returns an IP address of one of the super peers, one or more super peers. And then my computer contacts one of those super peers and sends a join message to join the peer-to-peer system. The super peers maintain index information. They each have their index, which records information that the local peers have. And they use flooding to forward messages between other super peers, similar to Nutella. So in this form, we use flooding. Ordinary peers contact the super peers to insert resources and to access the index information to search. So this is similar to a centralized approach. What node is a peer? What node is a super peer? Well, in fact, in general, any computer can be a super peer. So let's say we have our 1 million nodes in the internet which form this peer-to-peer system. Some of them, by the application software, may be automatically selected to be a super peer. And it usually depends upon the bandwidth available to that node, because super peers have many requests going to them and they need to send queries through the flood queries through the network. So they generally need to be peers which are more capable than the normal peers. So it may not be my laptop, it may be some special server or a server in some computer center somewhere. with a fast connection and high storage or
high processing capabilities.
So that's three approaches for setting up a peer-to-peer system. First approach, the Napster-style approach, have a central server. The only aspect of it that's peer-to-peer is, in fact, the accessing the resources. The rest is centralized. Everything's to the server. Very efficient, doesn't perform very well because we rely on a central server. The other approach, or the other extreme, Nutella. No special devices, completely flat architecture, everyone's treated the same. Use flooding to send messages. There's no index information stored about other nodes. In this case, the index was stored about other nodes, and same with the fast track approach. Here, we just store our own resources. Very good, because very good in terms of handling failures. If one node fails, we can still connect with the others. Very bad in efficiency. Flooding is very inefficient with large networks. And the third approach tries to combine those two together. We have more efficient communications than Nutella, less efficient than Napster, because in some cases we need to send a query across multiple hops. We still have some central devices. If this super peer fails, these peers cannot communicate with anyone. But these still can. That is, if one super peer fails, then some nodes will be inconvenienced, but most of them can still communicate. If this peer fails, that's fine. It's only this peer that cannot communicate. If a super peer fails, then this set of peers lose connectivity. But this set can still communicate. So that's a trade-off between the efficiency and the ability to deal with errors, failure of nodes. What we'll do next is, so there's one other approach that we're going to go through, and we'll go through that in even more detail. But one thing that we haven't talked about is how to access information. I send a search query. I get a response saying, the resource is available at Peer 4. And now, I need to access the resource on Peer 4. We haven't talked about how to do that. We could be using HTTP, some specific file transfer protocol. What we'll do is move, before going through the next one, distributed hash tables, we'll go through a way for accessing resources and trying to do it in an efficient manner. And that's using BitTorrent. So we'll do that this afternoon. We'll stop here on this topic, move to the topic on BitTorrent, and go through an example of accessing resources. And then we'll return to this last one, distributed hash tables. Let's stop there. You can collect your quizzes. I just very quickly marked them, but you can find the answers on the website. You'll find somewhere there's a PDF with the quiz questions and answers, so have a look at them. If we get time at the end of the semester when we discuss the exam, we may return to some of the answers. Sorry? Yes, some people did not come to the quiz. You can look at the answers and questions on the website for that quiz. So let's continue on BitTorrent this afternoon.